Welcome to the Troy Thompson Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you tuned in today. Listen, it is my greatest passion to empower leaders to create a more hopeful culture and to lead with passion and relevancy for their generation. I trust that today's podcast will encourage you, will equip you, and will empower you as you go out and create a vibrant culture that perpetuates hope and growth wherever you are. Let's tune in.
Welcome to Church on the North Coast. I'm Pastor Troy. I'm so glad you're here today. Those of you who can attend the summit tonight, it's going to be an amazing time. I promise we'll be sharing vision like no other time before in our church history that I'm aware of. I've been around for about 15 years, but tonight we'll be sharing second quarter vision. It's likened to what Apple does when they unveil their next season of products. But we'll unveil the next season of vision, and that'll be in Lorain, at the Lorain campus. If you can make it to that, that'd be awesome. We want to receive the offering now. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to receive that now, and thank you for your faithful giving. Everything you give helps us to continue to declare the gospel, and you're going to hear some gospel here in a minute, and prayerfully it blesses your spirit and your soul. So thank you for your faithful giving. Let's pray for that right now. Father, we're thankful now for every seed sown in this house. And we thank you, God, that without your people and their heart to give towards the good news, the proclamation of Jesus Christ, we would not be able to accomplish this. So thankful, Lord, for every seed sown in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke 12, we'll start in verse 42. I just want to say how extremely proud I am of Elijah. For those of you who don't know, Elijah, I met him, I don't know, how long ago?
10 years.
About 10 years ago, yeah. About 10 years ago, I met Elijah. And when I met him, he was homeless. He was actually homeless when I met him. And we went on a homeless tour not long after that. And, you know, you ever meet people... And you should do this all the time. So I'll ask the question, then I'll ask you to do this every time you meet someone. But when you meet someone and then you see yourself in them, you ever do that? You ever meet somebody and immediately see yourself and know the destiny of the person you're meeting? I know people have done that to me, and I try to do it everywhere I go. You know, you notice the God in them. And then the God destiny for them, and then to awaken that and to quicken that in their spirit. It's like there's a lot of reward in that when you can teach yourself to do that. And so anyone who's around me, do you recognize you in those around you? And if you do, are you awakening the DNA of heaven inside of them and creating the destiny and the future and the purpose for them? Are you empowering them to walk in those things? And then watch when they do. Yeah, you know. So like when I look at Norma and Chuck, I want to steward well because I know. You look at your parents and you go, I want to make you proud. You know, when your kids play a sport or something, well, not yet. When your kids play a sport, you're youngins. But when your kids play a sport or something, you know, and they score a touchdown and they look up, it's that thing that you know that's your you did that, and they're looking for you to affirm that, and so that's powerful in the kingdom. And every time I see Elijah accomplish his next great thing, I sit back and I smile and I'm warm and I'm emboldened in the Lord. You know, I become emboldened in the Lord to speak again, to declare again a new thing in somebody else, and to awaken again the heart of heaven in somebody else. And so you never know though when somebody needs the heart of heaven to be reawakened in them and to be awakened in them. You know, so I promise you, the person sitting to the left or right of you right now needs the heart of heaven to be awakened in them. It needs it. It needs it. It needs to be watered. It needs to be saturated with affirmation to say, I see God in you. I know what God has for you. I recognize it, and I want to contribute to it and empower it. So every time I see Elijah do these things, it warms me and it emboldens me. So I want to encourage you to do that. Luke 12, and say how proud I am of Elijah. Luke 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful wife and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. But truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and he'll cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. Isn't that something? You see that? You read with me. He says, if you're not faithful with what I've given you, then here's what I'll do. It's really, really extreme, Jesus. Like, whoa, you're going to cut them in two, and then you're going to take what you gave them, and you're going to give it to an unbeliever. If I were to ask you today, who sets the tone of the culture in the day of which we live, what would you say? Would you say it's the kingdom? Or would you say it is not the kingdom as much as it is the culture in which we live? And could it be true that Jesus is pretty accurate in his statement here when he says, if you're not going to be faithful with what I've given you, then what I'll do is I'll cut you in two, I'll divide you. I'll bring division there, and then I'll take what I gave you originally, and I'm going to give it to Beyonce. Or I'm going to give it to, not to assume that Beyonce's not born again. Let me stop that. Okay. And I don't want to say that. But he's going to take it, and he's going to ascribe it to an unbeliever. He's going to ascribe it to somebody who's not of the faith, who doesn't have the ability or the capacity to steward heaven the way you do. That means that you and I have this incredible womb to steward heaven in. That God has given you and me when we receive Christ, that he placed inside of us this womb that stewards the seeds of heaven, that makes it more powerful and more potent than those unbelievers. It says, and if you don't steward it, I'm going to take it from you and I'm going to give it to an unbeliever. I'm going to provoke you to jealousy. And that servant, verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone, now we love to quote this as born-again believers. We like this one. But we skip all the other stuff before, because that's some hard stuff that Jesus was saying there. I mean, that's some radical, hard line, I'm going to beat you. Right? Don't say that Jesus says he's going to beat us. Like, that's crazy, right? But he says, we like this one. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And then Jesus says, I came to send fire on the earth. And oh, how I wish it were already kindled. To whom has been given much, much is required. If you ever asked that question of God, what do you want with me? What do you want with me? I'm giving you all I got. What is required? Jesus says, you'll know what's required of you based upon what's been given to you. So you really have no excuse. You really are without an excuse to say, I did not know what was required of me. Because if you did not know what was required of you, Jesus says, all you have to do is take stock of that which was given to you. Think about the stuff that you got. That's it. So you want to know what I want from you? Think about the stuff that you got. That stuff you probably take for granted. That stuff you assume is easy. Everybody can sing like David. Not. You don't know it, but David can sing. Right? But just tell me what you got, Jesus says. Tell me what you got, and I'll tell you what I want from you. Tell me what you have, and I'll tell you what's required from you. If you don't know, this is how you figure it out. So, there's this other story in 1 Kings 17. This is a story of Elijah, and he goes and he's sent to a widow. You know this story? Read it later. I'm going to summarize a little bit, and I'll make reference here. He finds a widow in Zarephath who's gathering a couple of sticks so she can make a cake and die. Because she's so overwhelmed with life. Remember, she's a widow. She's so overwhelmed with life. Life has burdened her so. It has exhausted her, wrung her out, beaten her up. You ever feel like that at the end of a week? Where like life has just came at you hard, fast, and left you alone. And God sends the prophet to Zarephath to a widow. Now, if I'm Elijah, I'm going to say, okay, God, I see what you want. I see what you're saying here. But wouldn't it be better? Let's just have a conversation. Not saying you don't know what you're doing. I'm just saying she's a widow. She doesn't have anything. I'm hungry. You've left me out here and fed me with birds. I'm not saying they weren't good. I'm not saying I didn't eat. I'm just saying at this point, I'm getting a little weary too. Could you maybe send me to, you know, somebody with some provision? Maybe somebody that has some camels and some dates and some, you know, like just give me some bread, you know, just like, can you send me to somebody who is a little more affluent rather than a desperate, dying widow? Isn't it funny how God will send a widow a word, and the word a widow? Isn't that funny? Isn't it funny how God will feed you a word from a source? Isn't it funny how you're almost done and God sends a word and then he asks you to give to the word? And she says, Elijah finds her, and Elijah says, what are you doing? Could you give me a drink of water and a cake? That's it. I just want some cake. The conversation is humorous. I just want some cake, Elijah says. She says back to Elijah, listen, I'm tired. I'm a widow. I'm about to die. I have just enough food for me and my child. And I got a little bit of flour, and I got a little bit of oil, and I got these two sticks. Ah, this is glorious. I got these two sticks. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go make a fire, and I'm going to cook this cake with what I got, because there's famine here, Elijah. Everyone's dying, everyone's hungry, and you come to me, a widow, and you're asking me for cake. What if you want cake, why don't you go ask somebody who has a little more than me? No, she didn't say that. She revealed her heart. She revealed that she was overwhelmed. She revealed with her response that she was exhausted. She reveals with her response that she was depleted. She reveals with her response her broken heart. But she does not say to the prophet, no. She doesn't look at the situation. She recognizes the moment as a God moment, and she says, fine. He says, go make me a cake, come back here before you die. Before you die, before you cash it all in, just go get what you were going to do, make me a cake, and then we'll see what happens then. Jeremiah, what do you say about struggle meals, Jeremiah? What do struggle meals consist of? Jeremiah will make these struggle meals, which is bothersome to me, because I grew up and not so wealthy, and so it bothered me to look at bare cupboards, and I was always conscious of what I did not have, never aware of what I did have. I was always aware that I didn't have a dad. I didn't come from money. I was always aware of the fact that I had to wear, I had a limited set of clothes to wear, that my sneakers were beat. I was always aware of what I did not have. But never once in that phase of my life could I be conscious enough to take stock of actually what I had, the stuff that I did have, the stuff that was given to me, the stuff that was being required from me from what I had. So I had this mindset about me that always was looking at what was not there. And so, like, when Jeremiah does these videos, he will show the cupboards in our house. And I'm like, I don't want people knowing what's not in my cupboard. We haven't been able to get to the grocery store. You know what it's like. But we have 5 services in 7 days. I haven't had time to get there. So stop filming the refrigerator that has a carton of eggs, some milk, and some moldy cheese, and some fruit, or like, what are those, raviolis, Chef Boyardee thing, with the saran wrap on top of it, put back in there. And the Miracle Whip bowl, when nobody knows there's not Miracle Whip in there, is some sort of something that happened 4 days ago that nobody's touching and probably never going to touch for another 5 days. And so you're just looking at all of this stuff, and I'm like, man, struggle meals. But how many have said to God, how many will admit that you said to God at times in your life, I can't. Do you see what's in my refrigerator? Do you see what I have? And you're asking me to do this? You're asking me to take my little bit of flour and my little bit of oil and make a cake and give it to the kingdom? What about my house? What about me? What about my children? We're starving. We're going to die because this is what is revealed. Whenever you have a preconditioned mind to recognize what's not there instead of what is there, you will always produce famine in your life. Whenever your mind is focused on lack rather than abundance, whenever you have this predisposed mindset to say, I'll tell you what I don't have rather than what I know I have. So what we tend to do is say, God, why haven't you given me I have all of these dreams. I have all of these aspirations. And you keep telling me that these things belong to me, but all I have is a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And we're so obsessed with where God's going to take us that we're neglecting with what God gave us. We're so occupied with getting the cake factory that we're neglecting the cake. We're so occupied. But God, you promised me a marriage like this. God said, you're not even being faithful with the little things. I gave you this and I gave you that, and you're asking for that. And if you would just be faithful with this and this, what you don't know what this and this will do, this and this will make that, but you can't get that until you get faithful with this and this. God says, I want to take you to that place. You can testify to this. I want to take you to that place. But you see, you got to be faithful with painting that little round yellow thing at the bottom of the light post yellow on a hot summer day. When Troy's like, go out there and paint all those yellow things. And Elijah's out there, stupid. It's 95 degrees out here, 99% humidity. It's about to rain. This doesn't even make any sense. He's out there all day painting them. Then he eventually gets fed up and he leaves. And just the paint trays are still laying there. And Elijah left. Where'd you go? That's a true story. And so God, Elijah, I'm trying to get you to there, but really, if you just be faithful with a little bit of yellow paint in a tray, you have no idea that this bin of flour and this jar of oil is never going to run dry. But first you got to stop telling me about what you don't have, because I didn't ask you what you didn't have. I just asked you what you had. I just said, what do you got? If you tell me what you got, I'll tell you what's required of you. If you tell me what's in your cupboard, I'll tell you what you can make with it. But we're so obsessed with what's not there that we neglect what is there. And within each of us, God said, I put something in your cupboards. Man, I put something special in there. There's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but you have no idea what's about to happen with that little bit of this and a little bit of that if you just give it to me. If you just first give me this right here, just these two little things. That isn't it funny how God does more with less? Isn't it funny? Like, you want him to have more before you do. And God's like, if you have more, you'll take all the credit. I don't want you to take the credit, so I want you to have less. I want to take 3 loaves and 2 fish, and I want to feed 5,000. Now just give me the 3 and the 2 and watch out. And later in the story, they gave him less loaves and less fish, they gave him more. They gave him more. Watch this. Later, I got to twist it. They gave him more. They gave him like 4 and 5, I can't remember exactly. But they gave him more loaves and more fish. You know what he did? He did less with it. So the less they gave him, the more he did with it. The more they gave him, the less that he did with it. The principle is clear. What you got? Just tell me what you got. I'm not, tell me the stuff that you got that you're neglecting. Tell me that stuff that you carry around and you've gotten so used to it. You've gotten so accustomed to them ramen noodles being up there that nobody eats. You know that one thing that sits up there and nobody will touch, and you're wondering, why did I buy that? You know, did you ever see those? Who bought that? There is this one package of shrimp and stuff in my freezer. It's been there for like 2 years. And I'm like, throw it away, Becca. She's like, I can't. I'm like, why not? Like, nobody's eating it. We all have that. You know that stuff. I'm saying, what's that stuff in your life that God put in there and says, you've been sleeping on it this whole time? But as sure as I'm standing here sucking air, you got something. There's something in your pantry that's being neglected. There is some stuff that you got that nobody knows about, or maybe they know about. Because lots of times people know about your gifts, but they'll be quiet about it. They won't say nothing. That's why it's important that you say something. But lots of times it takes that word to meet the widow to awaken what the widow got, to make the widow produce something that will never end. And the question is, what you got? What's in your pantry? You know, what's that thing that God gave you that you a lot of us got it from, we inherited it. And because we inherited it, we don't honor it. Yet there's stuff that a lot of us carry. But because we don't like our dad, we won't own it. Uh-huh. Because mom said this or said that, we're not, Nope, I'm not taking pride in that. No way. I can't stand that about my mom. I'm not laying claim to that. Nuh-uh, no way. That maybe it's the reason the Bible says, if you honor your parents, it's the honor that hinges the faith that creates the abundance. And if you'll learn to honor the gift that I've given you, I'll take what I gave you and I'll make it into what you're dreaming of. But I can't make it into what you're dreaming of until you're able to recognize that this and this is more than enough. These kids, right? Oh my goodness, these kids. He said, God, you promised me that my children are the heritage of the Lord. You promised me, God, you said that my offspring are mighty. You said, Psalms 112, you said the descendants of the upright are mighty. How come what I'm looking at doesn't look like what you said? How come this doesn't, how come? And God's like, you keep telling me what they're not. You keep reaffirming what's not in them. And what I need a generation to know about is what is in them. Stop telling me that these millennials are whatever you want to say. How about we take the generation Xers and, help me, the generation Ys and the generation, the greatest generation ever, the baby boomers. How about all of those generations start recognizing the deposits that you placed inside of them and then now make a requirement of the deposits you put in them rather than exaggerating the things that aren't in them, rather than exaggerating the faults you see in them? How about awakening the stuff you put in there? How about opening the pantry of their spirits and pull out the beans and pull out the ramen noodles and pull out those packets of seasoning that were placed up there long, long time ago? You know, those one packets? Or how about those little cubes, those little cubey things in the little jars that are up there? We probably all got about five of those, or some of that Spanish stuff that you got from down the road and it was no good. That was, what's that stuff called? I don't know, the one. It's got a name. It's got, that's how you. Yes, that, sofrito. It was bad sofrito. Because you can't make good rice and beans with that kind of sofrito. Right? So you got that one old jar of sofrito that stays down in the kitchen door. And nobody throw it away, though, right? Nobody throw it away. And there's a reason you don't throw that stuff away. Because in your mind, you go, one day. That's the, in your mind, you go, that one day I'll need that. And your children are all sitting on a one day. There's a one day. There's a generation out there waiting for open the pantry. And go, I put that in there a long time ago. That came from my grandfather. And that's how I want you to see it. I want you to recognize. Now, you are a saddler. Do you understand that you could run like a deer? Do you understand how fast you are? Do you understand that your charisma comes from the Lord? That it's not to be looked at lightly? I told you that a long time ago. Do you understand that gift you got is not yours? It belongs to Him. Open the refrigerator. Take a look at it. I want you to recognize that I put that a long time ago. And I'm showing it to you because it's go time. It's to take a little bit of this, take a little bit of that. Now let's make cake. Let's make cake. Let's not be so busy looking for the Pillsbury factory that we neglect. My grandmother used to make the best pineapple upside down cake. Now I told you, we were poor, had nothing. But she would make this pineapple upside down cake. Oh my gosh. She would put those pineapples in there and she would put that brown sugar down there and all that butter. Oh, man, Grandma, when I get to heaven, we're going to have us a pineapple. And then she would put those little cherries, you know, out of the to put those in there. And then nobody can make a cake, a pineapple upside down like cake like my grandma. I try at times, but I'm telling you, what she could make with the little she had was so powerful that I carry it generations later. I carry it with me. And I'm reminded of the little bit that she had and what she put in me and how I'm going to take what she gave me and I'm going to be faithful with it. Because Jesus says, to whom much has been given, that's what's required. And the question is for all of us is, what has been given? What has been given will always reveal what is required. What is required of you? How to determine what's required. Make a list of what's been deposited. You want to know what's required? Make a list. Literally, sit down, make a list of the stuff that you recognize that has been given to you. Not that stuff you earned. Not that stuff that you went off and I'm talking about the stuff that God has blessed you with. That stuff that God put in your pantry. You know, that stuff. And you know, chances are, you're going to have to be real. You're going to have to become real self-aware. Because there's probably stuff in you that you don't value. There's stuff in your cupboards that you've forgotten about, that you disregard, that you think is no good. And in reality, it's the secret ingredient to KFC's chicken.
Come on.
Really? It was this one guy, Marlon, me and Marlon were talking about. I won't reveal who he is, but a very well-known fella. And he has this incredible gift. And I said, Marlon, call that guy, see if he'll... And I don't know why, God put him in Marlon's life. And I said, Marlon, call him. Tell him we want to hire him to do this thing for us. He calls him, and he says, now this guy works for an organization, if I were to say it, well, you'd know. I mean, you'd just... Everyone in here and everyone... in the world would know. Everyone in the world, okay? That's the organization. And he says, you want me to do what? Well, I want to hire you to do this thing, and I'm going to pay you. That's, why would you, I don't understand why you would, because it's been in his refrigerator for so long, he doesn't even see it as valuable. Even though he gets paid to do it on an astronomical level with an organization that's stellar, he works for the Cavs. But he doesn't recognize the gift. He doesn't recognize the little thing that God gave him that sets him apart from everybody else. So make a list. And you're going to have to be really aware of yourself to make that list. Think of the things that your parents have that you don't recognize that are in you, but they're in there. Think of those things. Literally make a list. What do you recognize that God has blessed you with? Number two, what's running low in the kingdom? Look for a famine. You want to know what's in you? Look for what's lacking in the kingdom. That's how you'll know what God wants from you. Because the stuff that you recognize that are burdened with, that's in famine, he said, I'll put that in you. I've made your eye to see the famine in this area. And whatever God has made your eye to see the famine of, that's the thing he has equipped you to address. Not to complain about it, not to criticize about it, but to address it. That's why it bothers me to no end when church folks come to church and they sit there and they criticize and they're cynical. And I ask them, well, if you see that so vividly, why don't you address the problem rather than complain about it and perpetuate it? Because if you see the problem, that means you are anointed to address the problem. That means the stuff in your cupboard you are equipped to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and turn it into something supernatural. So recognize what's low in the kingdom. Keep an eye. Identify places to serve that are deficient. Number three, what's required of Elijah? The vision. You want to recognize... You wanted how to determine what's required of you? Find out what the word has to say. Elijah represented the word. He was the word of God. He was the prophet. He was the herald of God. He represented the word. And so if you want to know what's required of you, search the word. Look for the word. Take your Bible. Search through the Word. Ask God. Reveal it through your Word. Reveal it through your audible Word. Reveal it through your written Word. Logos, Logos Word. And Rhema. Reveal it through your Word. Show me through your Word. Show me the vision. Because what you're making, you're partnering with Elijah, is feeding your future. Come in closer to that. You need to lean into that one because that one matters. How you partner with the Word of God in your life determines the success of your destiny in your future. If you neglect the Word of God over your life, you will die. Like, the dreams and the purpose for your life will begin to experience the effects of famine. Famine will begin to happen until we're able to recognize that my partner with the Word over my life is what feeds the next generation. It's what's going to feed me today, keep me alive. And the Bible says this bin of flour and this jar of oil will not stop. It's going to perpetually run if you choose to partner with what God has sent you through His Word. What has God sent you through His Word? Think about it. What is God asking of you through His Word? And whatever it is, this is, you know, when Elijah got up, think about that. What has God asked you of His Word? And whatever it is, take the little bit of this and a little bit of that and release it to God. I'm going to close. Trying to determine where I want to go. If I were to ask you today to give me your spiritual resume, what would you give me? Because really, that's what's happening. Everyone's thinking about the promise. But in order to achieve the promise, there has to be this paid attention to a little bit of this and a little bit of that. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. And before you know it, you begin to perpetuate something in your life. Something. The faithfulness of surrendering this and that begins to perpetuate something. But I want to help you focus on doing it now. Right now. Because God's in the hiring business. He wants to hire you. And if you gave God your resume, what would be on it? What would you put on it? Well, this is my educational experience. I have a bachelor's. I attended here and here. These are my accomplishments. These are the things. These are the prizes I've won. These are the accolades I received from so-and-so. I was able to go here. I graduated summa cum laude. I had a very distinguished GPA. But if you have ever hired anybody for anything, what you want to know is, you got any experience? Tell me about your experience. I want to hire you. God said, I want to hire you. Listen, widow of Zarephath, I want to hire you. And I want to work with you. I want to collaborate with you. I want to make something special with you. However, tell me what you got. Tell me what you got. do you have? Tell me about what's on your resume. Where's the last place you worked? Did you go to work every day? Were you faithful? What would you put? Because really what God's trying to determine is, do you have any experience doing this? Do you have any cake-making experience? Because you want me to hire you to manage a Pillsbury factory. But what I want to know is, do you have any experience with this or that? What you got? Because if you'll tell me what you got, and if you'll be faithful with what I gave you, I'll take your resume and I'll move it to the top. I'll take your resume from the bottom, I'll move yours to the top, because you got experience. You got experience. And there's a whole lot of, you know, thinkers, learners, but you know what makes it matter? The doers. I love the thinkers, I love the learners, but at some point that learner, I'm gonna not hire the learner, and I'm gonna hire the doer. I'm gonna hire the one making cake as opposed to the one telling me about how they're dreaming of making cakes. I'm gonna put their resume at the top of my pile because I know when it comes time to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, you have been there and done that. When it comes time for a crisis in the Avon community, oh, you've been there and you've done that. You've had your hand to that plow from the beginning. You recognize this crisis. You see it for what it is. You recognize the powers and principalities that are surrounding this situation. So I'm going to hire you and entrust that to you because you are anointed to do it because you do it. You've been doing it. And I will always hire those who do. What's your resume look like? Let me encourage you today. Start today doing. Start doing today. Take what God gave you. Just take what he gave you. And whether you think they're two little mites in an offering. She just gave two little mites. And Jesus looked at it and said, whoo, whoo. She just gave more than everyone. She gave two little mites. And Jesus recognized it as more than the rest. So whatever you got, I'm going to challenge you, church. Do it. Take it. Put it together. Make a cake. Give it to God. Partner with the word in your life and watch God do something supernatural. Let's stand to our feet as we close. Altar ministers are going to come up here. You have about six or seven of you. God's given you something. Close your eyes with me. God's given you something. God's made a deposit. God put that in there. There's a dream God gave you when you were 5 years old. You remember it to this day. God put that in there. There's something that was given to you by your father. God put that in there. You've been waking up in the middle of the night with this dream. God put that there. But God has made a deposit into each and every one of us. And God is declaring that this is the season. There is a famine that you know exists. And right now, God is declaring, take this little bit and address the famine with it. Address the lack with it. Stop being so critical of it. Stop asking me, stop telling me what you don't have. Because if you'll give me what you do have, you will not recognize your life in 6 months from now. After surrendering what you do have. God wants to take your purpose. He wants to awaken it in your heart. There are some in here, some listening to me, that all you can do, He doesn't listen to your shame. He's not listening. You keep telling him about why you're disqualified. God's telling you. He doesn't even understand that. You need to stop telling God what disqualifies you. It's an insult. It's an insult. Because he's made you the righteousness of his Son. The righteousness of Christ now belongs to you if you just but call upon his name. He said, I'll take all of your shame, all of your condemnation, and I'll place my righteousness in upright standing within you, and you can come boldly before the throne of grace in heaven and make your request known to me, and I'll hear them. And there are some in here who are complaining. There's this constant complaint that comes to God's ears about why it's not the way you want it to be. And God's just saying to you, if you could begin to unlock the pantry of that person and point out the stuff that you recognize that God's placed in there, then what he's going to do with that, with you recognizing that, is he's going to take that and he's going to supernaturally turn that thing into what you're looking for. So God, thank you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you for making a poem with our lives. Thank you for creating. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship. You are a poem of God. You are the masterpiece of heaven. Thank you, God, for awakening the identity of heaven over every one of us. That we are your workmanship. That everything placed there was purposeful. Thank you, God, for making us aware of what's required of us. We promise to take this bin of flour, this jar of oil, make a cake that's beautiful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get ready to leave, she said she had two sticks, two of them. She took those two sticks and she made a fire. Take the cross of the Lord Jesus and start a fire with your life. Jesus said, oh, how I wish the fire were already kindled. She had two sticks. Sticks is a reference to the cross. Take the cross in your life with what you got. Make a fire. Make a fire for generations to warm themselves by. Create a fire. Live with such passion that you know and others will know and recognize what God's put in you. Amen? God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. If you need prayer today, if you gave your life to Jesus, or you just want reaffirmed for what God has spoke today, we want to pray for you, okay? God bless you. Turn to your neighbor and ask them if they'd like prayer. Before they go that way, we'll come this way. God bless you as you go. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard.
This is Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you took the time to listen into the podcast today. If you like what you heard, you can go to the website cnclove.org for more. You are a culture creator. Go out today and create culture. Make the world a better place, a more hopeful place. It was a pleasure being with you.